I want to continue where I left off last Sunday with what God is saying and what God is talking to us about. And God's about to do something truly, truly amazing in our lives. We've only scratched the surface of what God's about to do. And I hope that you are, have a hunger and an anticipation and you're going after it. You're going after it. Hey, I always say, if you don't go after it and you don't expect that, you're probably not going to get it. Amen? Amen? Listen, long before I married my wife, she was even dating someone else. I said, I'm going to marry that girl. She said, that's terrible. Well, all is fair in love and war. And I won. I won. I said, I'm going after that girl, man. And so I took the first opportunity, man. I slipped her a little love note. Why I had everyone pray. It was so cool. You got to go after what you're after. You got to go after. You got to get a passion in your heart to say, in 2016, I don't care what anybody else does, because it ain't about nobody else. It's about me. I'm going to go after God with everything that's within me. I'm going to have a relationship with God. I'm going to pour out my heart before God. I'm going to take the precious ointment, the best thing I got, the most expensive thing I got, and I'm going to pour it on the feet of Jesus, and I'm going to get his feet, and I'm going to hear from God. I'm going to hear from God. So we talked last week about, what are you hearing from God? What is God speaking to you? What is God saying to you? I believe this is going to be a year of great outpouring of the Spirit as we step into our true identity. Everybody say, my true identity. As the body of Christ, we understand that we're a big group of people, but when God comes to us, he comes to us as individuals. He comes to us on a personal level. He comes and speaks to us, and God loves all of us, but he loves us each individually as well. Do you understand what I'm saying? So he wants an intimate relationship with you. He wants a one-on-one relationship with you. So here's a few things I want you to write down this morning. Get your smartphones out, or your iPad, or your, if you're old school, pen and paper, you know, whatever it is that you got. And so, you know, y'all old schoolers might want to hang around, because this stuff might all go kaput and we might have pen and paper again. And so write these things down. Who does God say that I am? Who is God saying that I am? Not anybody else, but who is God saying that I am? We worry about too much of other people's opinion or what other people put on us. But who does God say that I am? Number two, how does God see me? How does God see me? A lot of times we look and think that God sees us the way other people see us, or the way we've been identified. Or, you know, I told this story a few weeks ago about, you know, I've been clean from drugs for 30 years, but when I went back home, still people said, I remember when you was a drug addict. They still see me through the eyes of the old. God don't see me through those eyes. God sees me through a different set of lens. God sees me perfect, not because I'm perfect, but because he's perfect. Amen? And so, how does God see you? How does God look at you? And the last thing, but not the least, is how do I become? How do I become what God sees and what God's saying? How do I become? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Bring me some water down there, please. 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. And behold, the new has come. Everybody say, a new creation. That was so weak. Come on. A new creation. Say, I'm a new creation. I'm not the guy, the gal I used to be. God has made me a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, it is a new time, a new place, a new me. I'm a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 in the Message says it like this, and I really like how this says it. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start. He is created new. The old life is gone. He gets a new beginning. The life of yesterday, I'm united with God. I'm united with the Father. I'm no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer attached to this world. I got a daddy who loves me, and he's speaking life to me. I'm a new creature. I'm a new creation. I'm not the old guy I used to be. I'm someone that I am now, the person that God created me to be from the beginning of time. Ephesians 4:22. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through the deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. That's important. And to put the new self created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and in true holiness. So when you see yourself, how do you see yourself? Maybe today, if I could help persuade you that you start seeing yourself in the likeness of God. So when you walk to your mirror, that you don't see this old, past, corrupt person. You see what God is seeing, and now you see yourself in the likeness of God and what He has called you to be. Somebody shout destiny. My destiny is not in my 401, whatever, my retirement, my job. My destiny is not in any of those things. Those are just things. My destiny is in the hands of the Father and His purpose for my life. That's where my destiny is. If you put your hope in this world, I'm telling you, your destiny is going to be bleak. But if you put your hope in the Father, your destiny is going to be amazing. No, I'm not perfect, but I am forgiven. No, the song says, I'm not arrived, but yet I'm on my way. God's doing something in me every day, every day, every day, every day. He's working on me. He's changing me. There's something going on in me. Mark 2:22. And no one puts new wine into an old wineskin. And if he does, the wine will burst the skins, and the wine is destroyed, and so are the skins. But the new wine is for fresh wineskins. Somebody say new wine. God's putting new wine. There's a new wine being poured out. There's new wine about to come, and it's coming, and it's not going to come out of a drip either. It's going to come out of a 55-gallon barrel. If you're waiting for a little drip of the Holy Ghost, you're probably at the wrong place. I'm believing I'm waiting on God to be pouring it out. Big barrel of the Spirit just pouring it out on us. Come on, I feel a honey barrel coming on right now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. New wine, the glory of God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm not living in all that turmoil and yesterday. I'm living in the presence of God. I'm living in the purpose of God. I'm living in the destiny of God. There's new wine. If we're going to be able to receive it, we have to get rid of some old skins. Somebody say amen. Amen. The wine represents the Spirit of God. He is bringing fresh winds of the Spirit to the church. When? Now. Yes. When? Now. Listen, somebody said the revival's coming. No, I'm telling you, honey, the revival's here. Yes. You need to put your sail up and catch the wind of the Spirit. You need to put your sail up and realize that the wind of God is already blowing. And I'm just going to throw my sail up and I'm going to catch the wind that God is blowing. There's a baptism of fire that's coming. No. There's a baptism of fire that's here. This morning, there's just fire in this house. There's Holy Spirit fire. He said he's going to baptize us with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Oh, I'm going to do that again because I want all y'all to get involved today. I'm going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and with
fire.
Too many to the church today is professing to be the Holy Spirit, but there ain't no fire. How many times you jumped in your car and said, look, there goes the ice truck. Let's see where it's going. No, we're chasing fire trucks. We want to go where the excitement is. We're chasing the things of the Spirit. Hey, look, I ain't worried about what's going on. I'm trying to find a fire. I'm trying to find where there's something supernatural happening. The fire of God. Woo. There's a baptism of fire that's coming to this place. It's going to rock your world. And the last thing that I want to say, the baptism of, is an understanding of the love of our Father to His children. So many people live outside the love of the Father. They live striving, trying, pushing, begging, as if God don't even love them. And they're just hoping, you know, have mercy, God. Because my life is a mess, and inside somewhere along the way, you're thinking, well, I'm not good enough. I haven't done this enough. I haven't done that enough. Listen, if we're all waiting to get perfect, then we're all in trouble. I was in Mobile picking up Pastor Suber, and there was this big old sign on the side of this building. It said, no perfect, no perfect people welcome here. I said, that's got to be a church. Big old letters, 6 foot tall. And I pulled around, I was looking for the sign for the church. It was little bitty, but they had made a point to say, hey, all you perfect people, you're in the wrong place. If you're looking for a perfect church, don't go, because you're going to mess it up. Because we're unperfect people. We're living in an unperfect world. But we serve a God who is perfect in all of his ways. He's perfect in all of his ways. There's a new anointing of understanding that how much he loves me. And in my imperfection, he still loves me. His grace is sufficient for me. When I stumble and fall, I get up again. Why? Because his perfect will is going to be done in my life. Regardless of my actions, God is going to do something amazing in my life. Because he's a perfect God. When I'm after him, I'm after him. There's a new anointing of the Spirit of God that's come into the body of Christ, unlike anything that we've ever seen before. Unlike anything we've ever seen before. And hear me today, I don't know when or how, maybe I'm not going to get off of this until it happens. But I want to say it again. I'm going to say it again. We cannot go back to our last revival and pick up the last revival and try to make it the next revival. We can't go back to our last experience with God and plan on that being our next experience with God. There's something new that's coming to our house. There's something new that's coming into our life. And if we start looking back to yesterday, we're going to try to manufacture something and make it look like yesterday. God said, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. I'm pouring out new wine. And it ain't going to fit in your old wineskins. So you've got to get rid of those old wineskins and get ready for the new. But brother pastor, I like it the way it was. Well, guess what? You're going to miss out on the way it's going to be. You're going to miss out. Now, I'm not saying you're not going to be saved. I'm saying you're just going to miss out on the glory of God. Because you want to try to resurrect the old and God's trying to bring the new. That's good preaching, amen. Notice in the scripture, well, let me back up. The wineskins are the containers or the vessels. That's you, you and I, the body of Christ. We are the wineskins. We're the containers that God's going to pour this out in. God's not going to pour new wine out in this building. Thank you. Jason said that'd be weird. God's not going to pour new wine out in this building. He's going to pour new wine out in the containers, in the vessels. And the people that he's called. So this new wine might come to you while you're driving down the road. Because you're the container. This new wine might come while you're walking, John. Might be the new wine. This new wine might come in the most unpredictable places. Amen. Amen. By the way, it's good to have Tyler and Anna home. Almost missed that. I think they ran into a little new wine over there in the Ukraine. Some new wine of the Spirit. That God is pouring out, pouring out, pouring out. Notice he didn't say, I'm looking for a new wine, a wineskin. He said, I'm looking for those who have wineskin to become new. I'm looking for the wineskin that you are, peel it off and become new. I think about a snake just then. You got to lose your old skin so you can get you a new skin. Today we walk, I want to take you through the altar of conviction. Everybody say the altar of conviction. You know, we find sometimes that the altar of conviction, if we're not careful and understand the spiritual understanding of conviction, then we can confuse it with other things. I'm not talking about condemnation. I'm talking about conviction. The word conviction is not found in the Bible, but the principles of conviction are found throughout the whole entire Bible. The word conviction means to be fixed on a firm belief. A firm belief. I truly believe it. If you come to tell me today that God can't deliver somebody from drugs and alcohol, you come to talk to the wrong person because I was delivered, so I have a firm conviction that God is the deliverer. And ain't nobody can change my mind. You can't talk me out of it. I once was lost, but now I'm found. 30 years later, not only did he deliver me out of it, but he has kept me. Somebody ought to shout about that. He not only sets us free, but he keeps us. He keeps us. He keeps us. So with this in mind, I have to believe that I have some convictions, and I have to say, this is what I believe. There are certain things in the Word of God that are clear. We do not need an interpretation. When he said, thou shalt not commit adultery, we don't need to pray about that. Look it up. Study it in the Greek and Hebrew. You know what it means. What you need is a conviction of obedience. Amen? There are things written in the Word of God we don't need convictions for in the way that God speaks to us in a personal. We just need a conviction of obedience. If he says, do that, then we need to do it. You got that? But there are, because here's just commands. Those are commands. Those are not good ideas. Those are not suggestions. Those are commands. So I want to help you today to understand that I can have a conviction to believe in the command, but I've got to have a conviction in my heart to obey the command. I need a conviction of obedience today. I need a conviction of walking in the purpose of God, and what he says, yea and amen, I embrace that. But James 4 says this, so whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, to him it is sin. If you know the right thing to do and you choose not to do it, it is sin. At the altar of conviction, the work of the Holy Spirit brings to light some things that will help us, some things that will guide us. My wife and I have been married for a long, long time, and we pretty much agree on the same things. We pretty much come into agreement on most everything, and when we don't, she's right. And the women say yes. And so she's right, but here's the deal. There, when it comes to conviction, she has convictions that are not my convictions. I have convictions that are not her convictions. And I can't put my conviction on her. And she can't put her convictions on me because they're my convictions. I have to walk in those convictions. I grew up in church where they preached against television, but some of the preachers would go off on vacation and go here and go there, and then they'd watch TV. They'd come time for the Super Bowl. They was all gathered up at Mr. Getty's. Listen, if you preach against TV, don't watch it anywhere. If it's a conviction, anybody with me today? Don't watch it anywhere. Don't watch it in the motel room. Don't watch it at Sears and Roebuck. Don't watch it anywhere. When you walk in there, just put your hand up. I got a conviction. Don't go down the TV aisle. Are you understand what I'm saying today? But if you got a conviction in your life, it don't have this today. It's not a vacation conviction. It's a conviction of the heart. And I don't care who I'm with or what I'm doing. This is my conviction. This is my conviction. I'm not drinking with you. I got a conviction against it. I got a conviction. Don't. I got a conviction against that. So don't. I'm not going to do it. But here's the deal. I can't let my convictions be, oh, well, I feel this inspiration today and that inspiration tomorrow. Those are not convictions. Those are ideas. Are y'all with me today? All right. Conviction. I got it in my heart. It's a personal thing. Where did I get that conviction? I got that conviction along with God. It's not a rule book. It's not, listen, I believe in standards. We got to have some standards in the church. Listen, when you come up here on this platform, you're not going to be in flip-flops and Daisy Dukes and a halter top. Just not going to happen. I don't need a conviction for that. That's my rule. McDonald's wants you to wear that goofy little hat and that little apron. That's their rule. Those are fine too. But don't confuse a conviction with a rule. Don't confuse a conviction with a law. And don't try to make law out of conviction and conviction out of law. You got to say, this is the word of God. This is his law. I'm going to be obedient to it. But over here in a secret place, I'm going to get some personal convictions. Are y'all with me today? Hey, come on, somebody. Help me preach. Have you been in a place of prayer in your life and there's all of a sudden this overwhelming thing comes over you, over your conscience? Over your mind, over your heart, in your soul. And it's in the secret place where the Lord begins to tell you some things you should do or some things you should not do. Some things you need to get rid of, some things you need to get a hold of. Those are convictions. 1 Corinthians 2 says this. But the natural, non-spiritual man does not accept or welcome, I'm reading from the Amplified, or admit that into his heart the gifts and the teaching and the revelations of the Spirit of God. For they are folly, meaningless, nonsense to him. And he is incapable of knowing them, of progressively recognizing and understanding and becoming better acquainted with them because they are spiritually discerned. There are some things that's going to happen in your life that will not come from your carnality or come out of a non-spiritual place. Rules can come out of that. Standards can come out of that. Ideas can come out of that. But it's on a spiritual mind and a spiritual place that God speaks conviction in your heart. Are y'all with me today? And so God wants for all of us to have some convictions in our life, some things that we're steadfast in, unmovable. They won't be preached from the pulpit. They won't be given to our neighbor, but they're my relationship with God. They're my covenant with God. Amen. Samson was the only one that had that given to him, that conviction. Now, don't cut your hair. This is a Nazarite vow. I'm giving this to you. And when the enemy came to steal from him, what did he want to steal? He wanted to steal his conviction. Listen, the devil will take you out and steal your conviction from you because he knows it's going to lead you to death down the road. He's going to steal your conviction from you because he knows if you lose your conviction, it's going to lead you somewhere you don't need to go. Are you with me today? So my conviction is not about Eddie Joe. I don't know what Eddie Joe's conviction is, but my conviction is my conviction. And I got to stay on that road of conviction. I got to have it in my heart. I got to be faithful to what God has called me to. Why am I doing that? Because I want God's best for my life. I want God's purpose for my life. Oh, I may not go to hell, but I may live in hell if I lose my conviction. Anybody with me today? So I'm going to keep convictions in my life. Why? Because if we want holiness, we got to have conviction. Amen. Now listen to me today. I'm not talking about condemnation. When somebody comes and points a finger at you and that's condemnation. Shake it off, say, God bless you, I love you, but this is what the Lord's told me, and have a nice day. Conviction is something that stirs in your spiritual man. We have an altar of conviction in our lives. We no longer operate out of the place of the flesh or out of our own mind, but we have the mind of Christ. How many want the mind of Christ? How many want the purpose of Christ? How many want to be made to look like Christ in his image? So this is conviction that draws us into a place where we see God and we say, God, I want to be like you. Listen to what I'm about to say, right? You want to write this one down too. As we grow in our faith, so should our understanding of God. As we grow in our faith, so should our understanding of God. If we're still battling the same things we were battling with when we were a new believer, it could be because we have ignored conviction of God in our lives, and we have become calloused and disobedient. You say, Pastor, that's a strong statement. Yes, but it's a powerful statement. We have to come to the place in the maturity in our walk with God that we are willing to delete some things out of our life. We are willing to let go of some things in our life. Why? Because I don't want to stay in this same old battle forever. Let me talk to you just a moment about that. I feel led to do so today. Some of us are in the same battle, fighting the same thing, and we're struggling every time we try to come into the presence of God because we got some guilt and condemnation hanging over us and shame hanging over us that don't belong there. We don't understand that we got a good daddy. He's a good father. He's forgiven us of our sins, and he wants to change our life. And so when we get to the place that we say, hey, I'm going to be obedient to God, when he speaks for me to do this, then I'm going to do it because why? Because it pleases the heart of the Father. And now I'm walking in my destiny. Now I'm walking in my purpose. Now I'm walking in kingdom authority. Everybody got that today? That's a good word. Titus 1. So to the pure, all things are pure. But to the defiled and the unbelieving, nothing is pure. But both are the minds, and both of their minds and their conscience are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. I want to say that again. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are disdainable, disobedient, unfit for any good work. What makes us unfit when we walk in disobedience? You know, it would be like I would say to my children, hey, you okay? If you want to play in the street, I know the street's a lot more fun than the grass, so have at it. Now I'm giving them permission, and they're going to get hurt eventually. But if I say, hey, listen, I'm a good daddy, I'm going to put this conviction in your life, and I'm going to tell you, don't play in the street because you're going to get smacked, and that's going to hurt you. Did I love my kids more when I gave them the freedom to do what they wanted to do? Or did I love them more when I said, please, let me put a conviction in your life because I got greatness for you. You got destiny in your life and something supernatural is going to happen. And I don't want you to go before your time. I'm putting destiny in their life. I'm saying there's greatness in your life. I'm helping you to get where you're going by putting some boundaries and some guidelines. Oh, I feel like preaching today. Listen, when I'm driving across the bridge over here, the Pontchartrain Bridge, and I'm cruising across the bridge, I love the water. I want to see out over the water. It's so beautiful. And they put that stupid guardrail right in your line of vision. I think sometimes, why don't you raise it up or lower it? Do something with it because it's right in my line of vision. I want to see. I want to see the water. I want to see what's going on. But you know what? Here's the deal. I don't need that guardrail until I got a blowout. Or somebody rams into me in the back end. I don't need that guardrail in my life until there's something tragic happens. Then all of a sudden, the thing that I felt like was blinding me or keeping me from seeing and doing what I want to do, all of a sudden, it became my best friend. Are you here with me today? God wants to put some things in your life, not because he wants to mess you up, because he wants to build you up. He wants to give you grace like you've never seen it before. He wants to give you anointing like you've never had before. He wants to pour out things on you that you've never seen before. And so he's putting convictions in your life because he is preserving you for your destiny. Amen. Convictions. Whew. I know this is not a popular message anymore. A popular message is just do what you want to. Jesus loves you. No, you better do what he tells you to do. Jesus loves you. So your conscience, your soul man, needs to be bathed in prayer and in the word of God, or it will become wicked and deceitful. This is a lamp unto my feet. This is a light unto my pathway. And this is awesome. And I better read it. I better love it. I better put it in my heart. You know, sometimes somebody walks to me and say, what about so-and-so scripture? And I'm like, somewhere in the Bible. But it's amazing when the devil comes against me. All of a sudden, swat! I'm like a Holy Ghost ninja. And the word starts coming out of me. Swat, swat. Why? Because I've been bathed in the word of God. I've been bathed in the presence of God. And no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Why? It's a conviction. It's a part of my life. It's who I am. Let me just help you today. If the only Bible you're getting on Sunday is all you get, you're in trouble. You better get some more Bible and some more prayer in your life and some more places in your life and a place of intimacy with God, because there's going to come a storm in your life. You can come and shout and dance on Sunday and get delivered to have a fire of God fall on you, but guess what? The devil's going to meet you at the door, and you better have a sword. And you better have the Spirit of God working in you. And you better have some conviction in your life. And you better be ready to win. God's got a bunch of winners, not losers. Somebody shout, I'm a winner. Say, God's got something good for me. So I embrace the convictions of my life. I embrace them. However, if we feed ourselves with a steady diet of prayer, it will lead us to a place of purity. This leads us to a personal conviction, showing you things that are wrong, things that you need to do, things that you need to let go of, things you need to hold on to. We all have things in our life we need to delete. We need to hit the delete button. Control, Alt, Delete. Start new. Our computers are froze up. We've been staring at the same old thing forever. Listen. I'm the worst techie guy in the building. My daughter laughed at me yesterday until I was ready to choke her. She was making fun of me. This sweet one over here. I was trying to put a password in, and I couldn't get that password in, and I kept going to do it. And she said, Dad, just let me do it. I said, no, I'm going to do it myself. And I put it in, and I tried and tried and tried. I couldn't get it to work. So finally, in my frustration, I handed it to her, and she went, chip. Smart aleck. But really, honestly, all of us have got things in our life that our computer's frozen up. Our life is on hold. And we're trying to figure this out on our own. And we need to hit Control-Alt-Delete. We need to delete some stuff out of our life. We need to get some stuff out of our spirit. We need to get some stuff out of our head. We need to get some stuff. I'm going to preach to you just a little bit today. I know maybe some of y'all ain't going to like what I'm fixing to say next. You need to get rid of some people in your life. You need to get rid of some people. If they're always dragging you down, they're always pulling you down, you need to say, delete. Well, that don't sound very spiritual. No, I didn't say quit praying for them. I didn't say quit loving them. I said delete them from your day-to-day life where they're sucking the life out of you. Come on. Delete. I love you. Bye. We need to delete some things out of our day-to-day walk. We're so busy. We get up in the morning. It's like instead of hitting the alarm clock, it's like a fire alarm. Woo! Here we go. It's wide open all day long. I talked about it last week, like a gerbil on a wheel. Get off and we're standing in the same place. You need to delete some things out of your life. Say no to some things. Because if you don't have a secret place, if you don't have a place of prayer, if you don't have a place of devotion, guess what? The devil's going to take you out. You better have some secret places with God. But Pastor, you don't understand. I got this going on and my life is busy and I got kids and I got, so does everybody else. You're making excuses. Yep, I said it. You're looking for a reason. You're making excuses. Here's the deal. When you say, God, I'm going to make you Lord over my life, you better make some time for the Lord to speak to you. You better make some time for God to talk to your heart. You better make some time. Put away some things and say, God, I'm going to do it. I got to get me a new skin. I got to get rid of, oh, God's about to pour out an anointing. And here you are, God gets ready to come, and Holy Spirit moves. And it's a funny thing to me, because God can move in the same building. And people say, well, I just didn't get anything out of church today. That's because you and your old skin. He's looking for a new skin. He come to pour something on you. I'm not talking about you, but I'm going to use you. He come to pour something on you, and you look the old scaly, old rotten skin you had yesterday. And he said, well, I'll just go over here and pour it out over here, because if I pour it on you, you're going to bust and just go to waste. It's always a joker in the house. Skin. God wants to give you a new skin. He wants to give you a new you. Where do you get that at? In a prayer room. Where you get that in an altar? Where you get that in your convictions? Where you get that in the place of secret place with God? You're not going to get it on Sunday morning, Jack. It's an everyday event. It's an everyday affair. It's like cleaning your closet out. Come on, how many going to be with me now? You got to clean your closet out. Every year, I'm going to clean my closet out. It's spring cleaning. We're going to clean the closet out. And you come across that members-only jacket that you love so much. It was given to you in the 80s, and you remember when you was doing Disco Duck and wearing your members-only jacket. Life was good. You were cool. You had your hair combed back. You were just right. Everybody was loving you. This is my memory. My memory. You got to let that skin go. You got to let that go. You got to clean that out of your closet. You put it on and the sleeves are up to here. You can't button it no more. But I'm so attached to it, I just can't let it go. I remember this and I remember that. And I remember, listen, God's saying clean your closet out. Get rid of it. Make some room for the presence of God. Make some room for the next anointing. Make some room for what God's about to do next. Get that stuff out of your closet. God wants to give you a new cloak. He wants to give you a new garment. Get rid of members only. And say, God, I want what you have for me. It's outdated. It's deleted. It's not new. God said, I got some fresh oil. I got some fresh fire. I got a fresh wind of the Spirit. I got a fresh bucket of oil to pour on you. Fresh wine. But we have to make room for things new in our life. It's a new season. Come on, somebody say it's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new season of our life. It's a new season of our life. You still holding on to that wedding dress? I got it vacuum sealed. I got it placed underneath the bed. I got it in a vault. I got it in a special. You know you can't wear that dress no more. Get rid of it. Get a new dress. Get a new robe. Get a new. You're the new bride. You're not yesterday's bride. I'm hanging on to it. Let go of it. No, you don't need that. You just think you need that. God's got something you really need, but he can't give it to you because you're holding on to yesterday. Holding on to yesterday. Holding on to yesterday. And you're having memories over yesterday's revival when God's wanting to give you the next revival. You're still trying to, thank you, Heather, come on. You're trying to work out of yesterday's anointing. God said, I'm going to give you a new anointing. New anointing. New fire. You need to quit. You need to delete some things out of your life. New wine for a new year. Somebody say it.